appearances of the word Holy Spirit in the entire New Testament. So that gives you a little perspective that Luke really, really focuses in on the Holy Spirit. Different kind of levels or different amounts. So just really quickly, I just kind of flip through Acts and look at all of the times that the Holy Spirit is like very much a part of what's going on. In Acts chapter 1, right at the very beginning, the disciples are promised, you're going to get power from the Holy Spirit. And then you go to the next chapter, and that's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes down. Randy mentioned it this morning. The tongues of fire fall on the people. They're speaking in different languages. When Peter finishes his message on Pentecost, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and what? You'll receive the Holy Spirit. That's what he says in chapter 2. In Acts chapter 4, Peter is said to be full of the Holy Spirit as he preaches to the Sanhedrin. In Acts chapter 5, Peter tells Ananias, remember he sold the property and gave the money to the church, and apparently they claim that they gave all of it, but they held a little bit back. And Peter says, you lied to the Holy Spirit. In chapter 6, when they're choosing the early deacons, they kind of single out Stephen, probably because he's the one that's about to be martyred. And what is it said about him? Why did they pick Stephen? Because he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. When he is stoned to death in chapter 7, again, it's said he's full of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, we're not even a third of the way through yet, right? And it's everywhere. Acts chapter 8, Peter and John place their hands on the believers in Jerusalem, and some way, somehow, they impart upon him, or on the group, the Holy Spirit. And later on in chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer, he sees the gifts of the Spirit, and he's like, I want to be able to do that. And so how much money would I have to take? That doesn't go so well for him, right? But it's the Holy Spirit that kind of catches his eye. In chapter 9, there's a different Ananias, the one that's sent to Saul, who becomes Paul. And he is said to go to Saul and impart on him the Holy Spirit and heal his blindness. In chapter 10, Peter's preaching to the Gentiles and the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them. Remember, that's kind of a crucial story in the middle of Acts. In chapter 11, the difference between John the Baptist's baptism and Jesus' baptism is what? Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit. In chapter 13, the Holy Spirit spoke. I don't understand it. But he told the church at Antioch to set aside Paul and Barnabas. In chapter 16, this is the really weird stuff. John, I think you mentioned this last week in our groups. The Holy Spirit kept the apostles from going to certain areas. How in the world did that happen? Was it like a boundary where they just walk into an invisible wall and they can't go that far? I mean, what was going on? I don't know, but the story is told that the Holy Spirit kept them from going certain places. In chapter 19, Paul lays his hands on some of John's disciples and again passes to them the Holy Spirit. Chapter 20, Paul somehow felt led by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem, and he was told that when he gets there, the Spirit tells him that you're going to face imprisonment and some hardships. In chapter 20, Paul tells the leaders of the Ephesian church that it is the Holy Spirit that has established the elderships of the church. And so you kind of get the idea, right? I mean, the Holy Spirit is everywhere on the pages of the New Testament. Everywhere in the pages of Acts. He's the driving force, or it's, or whatever you want to call it, whatever pronoun you want to use. And all of this begs the question, as you look at the church today, as you look at our gathering today, the lifeblood of the Allen Creek Church today, you as a Christian today, it begs the question, where's the Holy Spirit at? What's he doing? How does he work? I passed along to Brian this week. I said, hey, look, we're going to sing some songs about the Holy Spirit. Good luck finding those. Some of you are familiar with the Songs of Faith and Praise book, that big book. It's got like 1,200 songs. It has a section for songs about the Holy Spirit. There are 10 songs in it, and I only knew like 2 of them. We just don't talk about it very much, and we're kind of a little worried about it because there's been a lot of extreme uses of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't grown up in kind of a holiness tradition and you're not familiar with charismatic or Pentecostal groups and you see people who are super exuberant and maybe doing things like speaking in tongues, it makes some of us feel uncomfortable. You see that throughout the book of Acts, though, that there are several times where there's people speaking in tongues. And I don't know your experience, but I've never had that experience myself. And so we feel a little uncomfortable saying, yeah, that's how the Spirit moves, because maybe it moves that way for a group of people, but for a lot of Christians, it doesn't seem to be the way that the Holy Spirit works. There are times throughout the book of Acts where the Spirit comes upon the people, and Luke writes as though you just knew it by looking at them. And so that kind of begs more questions, like how would you know? I had all these questions flooding through my head this week. What does it even mean to receive the Holy Spirit? How could Peter and Paul tell? Why was it sometimes they received the Holy Spirit when they were baptized, and other times they were baptized through another name, and they received the Holy Spirit through the imparting of hands by one of the apostles? How did they know that some people had the Spirit and some people didn't? I mean, if I was to ask you that, how would you respond to that today? How do you know that a group has the Spirit or that a group doesn't? And when it says that it talked to them, did it talk to them audibly? Was it in visions? Was it through an inner kind of leaning? What is this all about? And I thought about this week, I've got to get up and talk about this, and I had all these questions, and I'm assuming that you probably have a lot of those questions too, and I have to tell you, I don't really have any answers to them. So this is kind of a sermon going nowhere, I suppose. I remember when I was a kid, growing up in church, and we were always taught, as I'm sure a lot of you were, that Acts chapter 2, verse 38 was kind of our theme verse, and Peter replies, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we were always taught that you were given the gift of Holy Spirit upon baptism. And I remember as a kid, I would see a few baptisms once in a while, and I would just kind of wait to see what happened. And I don't know if you've seen baptisms, but I didn't see anything happen. And then I remember when I was baptized, I was 12 or 13 years old, and I thought, well, maybe it's something you can't see, but you feel inside of you. And I was baptized, and I remember thinking, now what? I don't want to belittle the experience. I'm not saying it wasn't significant, it wasn't important, it wasn't moving, but there wasn't anything that I could just look at and say, now I have a testament to what the Holy Spirit is and how it works. Because I just didn't. And yet that was such a big deal in the teaching that I received, that you would receive the Holy Spirit. And then I think all of you, hopefully if you've been through Acts together, you can kind of empathize with that, because when you read Acts, there's something that's happening, something drastic and something significant. And so let me just ask you this, because I really want these middle weeks to kind of be a little bit of opportunity to kind of hear from each other. But does anybody, when I ask you if you had a chance to read through Acts this week and really focus on the work of the Holy Spirit, did anybody have any teaching or any story or anything this week that you're reading through that just kind of struck you, or questions that you had or anything like that about the Holy Spirit in Acts? Told you, none of you have any answers either, right? Aubrey, is this on? Don't ask any questions. We're not giving any answers. Yeah, I mean, it's a huge question. Do you have to be baptized to receive the Spirit? I was always taught that. But then when you read Acts, the answer is, well, no, because sometimes they didn't. As a matter of fact, that was the moniker of the Gentiles. They received the Spirit, and they hadn't been baptized. And then you had other people that had been baptized, but they hadn't received the Spirit. And so when you're looking for a formula, it's kind of lacking. And again, my question always goes, and how did they even know? Like, if we were just to take a test this morning and say, okay, those of you who have been baptized, do you have the Spirit? How do you know? What proof do you have? Kurt? And that was one of the interesting things about the story, because you keep getting the evidence or the description that they had the Spirit, but it doesn't say how. It doesn't give us, well, we knew that these people had the Spirit because of X, Y, and Z. And so it's almost as though that's intentional, that I'm not able to come up here and say, well, this is exactly how it works. Now, how many of you, and I'll just ask you to raise your hand, how many of you have felt that you've had a Holy Spirit moment? So, most of you have felt it, but how do you describe it? We'll get back to that in a minute. Any other kind of reflections this week from Acts and the Holy Spirit? I didn't expect a lot, because I know it's... Well, I don't expect a lot of you. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't expect a lot, because it's just a tough story. Anybody? It was last week, I think, in our group. Yeah, there's been a few times when I've read through Acts and I've been like, I don't really remember that. And that's one of them. And John, you mentioned it last week, and you're just like, what does that even mean? And Ruth is right. You usually look at the Spirit as being something that's calling us to do something. But instead, it was calling them away from a place. Chris?
I'm not so sure that it was like a call to do something. I think it was more like Paul had decided, I think I'm going to go up there and do this. The Holy Spirit was like, hey, there's something better down in Macedonia. Why don't you go over there instead?
Good thought. Good thoughts. Microphone's going away for a little while. Anybody else? You guys sit on the same side. Come on now. Ringley. And by the way, I'm trying to tap into the Holy Spirit here, right? I mean, just see what people are coming from. Everything I've got to say is already super scripted. Now, I think that's a big part of what Kurt was saying, is we always wanted to limit it to the Word. Once you start doing that, probably some of the places where I've sensed the Spirit the most has been when I've talked to somebody, and you're like, the Spirit's been working in their lives before I ever met them. And you see that a lot in, the missionary kind of movements in Acts, where, I mean, in one way they're bringing God to them, but in the other way, God's already there, and the Spirit is already kind of working. So, well, let me tell you what really struck me this week. It's Stephen. One of my favorite chapters in Acts is chapter 7, when Stephen gives basically an accounting of the Old Testament, kind of brings them up, and it's really one of the most concise, even though when you're reading through the book it's a little long, but when he tries to cover the, when you consider he's considering the whole Old Testament, it's kind of a concise statement about what God's been doing with his people. And he kind of follows the history of Israel, and he gets to Jesus, and of course the great, kind of thing that gets them all fired up, and he's like, oh yeah, because they're all in at first. They're like, oh yeah, we're with Abraham, we're with Moses, we're with David, this is good stuff. And then he says, yeah, and then this Messiah that's been promised, you all just killed him. You know, then they got kind of upset. But there's a little statement that he said, and I don't know that I've really noticed it very much, but before he kind of really embittered them, he says, you always resist the Holy Spirit. And I thought, man, first of all, you have to have a lot of audacity to say that. And in those times when you're wondering, well, why did they kill little poor old Stephen? Well, things like that will get you killed, right? I mean, when you the audacity to tell somebody, you always, and he was speaking collectively, you always resist the Spirit. And it got me thinking about another place in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19, Paul says, don't quench the Spirit. You always resist the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. And it made me wonder if maybe our problem with the Holy Spirit has been that we just pretend like it doesn't exist, or that it, because we can't explain it or because we don't understand it, that we just say, well, it's there, but you know. But when you read Acts, it's hard to argue with the fact that that was their lifeblood. Like, that's how they made their decisions. I mean, I don't think that they did anything that didn't make any logical sense, but I don't think they put together a pros and cons list and said, okay, if the pros have it, then we're going to do that. Instead, they dropped to their knees and they prayed and they asked the Holy Spirit to lead them. And when it comes to our lives, both collectively as a church and individually as Christians, that is our calling, to be led by the Holy Spirit. And if you never do anything because of your faith that doesn't make sense to anybody else, then the chances are pretty good that we're not following the Holy Spirit. Because there is a lot of times, and it's almost funny how Luke almost dismissively says, yeah, and Paul got the crap beat out of him and he was almost dead and he's laying at the... And you're like, wait a second, what happened? I mean, it was just kind of just said, because what really was focused on was the interaction that he had with the people. And I know how the conversations would go if it was me, and probably for you. Well, what's going to happen to me? I don't get the crap beat out of me. Maybe we can go somewhere else. And Chris may be right. Maybe there's something in Macedonia that they were calling into. Maybe it was more trouble, you know, that because it was the Spirit that was leading me. It wasn't common sense. And that, I think, is why this is such a challenging issue. And it's why I really wrestled with that question or that statement. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a strange week. I haven't preached about the Holy Spirit all that often, but every time I do, something weird happens. And so there you go. You know, is that what it is? It's the weirdness. I don't know. I was thinking of Bill Dameron while I was reading on Friday. I don't know if you know Bill, like, as a Holy Spirit guy, but when I think of the Holy Spirit, I thought about Bill. And I was sitting down, and I was reading some of my Acts, and I sent Bill this text. And I'm going to read it right from my phone so you don't think this is me being dramatic. Not being dramatic, this really happened. Right, Bill? 9:39 a.m., I said, hey, Bill, have you received this message from the Holy Spirit this week you can share? Now, before I tell you his response, I have to tell you something. The passage that JJ read earlier this morning, for some reason, I got that in my head. It's one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. Because it has that kind of that repetitive cadence where you can just kind of repeat it and reflect on it and meditate on it. Not the whole passage, but there's that one statement, you do not have because you do not ask. That was what I had taken from Stephen's statement about you always resist the Holy Spirit. And I started thinking about James's teaching. You do not have because you do not ask. Because I think we ask through the Holy Spirit. We do not have because we do not ask. And so at 9:39, I sent Bill that text. And this is what he said. You have not because you ask not. Sorry, he's a King James guy, I guess. You have not. This was his text a half hour later. You have not because you ask not. He is faithful. He is faithful. I don't always know how the Holy Spirit works, but that just seemed to be one of those moments. And he responded something about goosebumps. And that's kind of Holy Spirit stuff, right? When you just go, whoa, I don't know what just happened, but that was kind of above me, above us. And the challenge for us as Christians is that's what we're called to live. Like, we're called to live that goosebumpy life where we feel that there's some higher calling in our life, that we're making decisions that don't always make sense on this level because we're postured above that level. And it's difficult to read Acts and not give that assent, not acknowledge the fact that, yeah, the Spirit is somehow supposed to be leading and guiding us. And in the teaching that I received and that Kurt received and that many of us received about God working through Scripture is certainly a big part of the way the Spirit works. I don't want to limit it to that, and I think that's what Kurt was saying. We don't want to limit it to that, but still, and that's why we spend the month focused on Acts, wondering, where is the Spirit leading us? Where is the Spirit leading you? I mean, have you ever felt a tug or a pull of somebody who just comes to your mind for some reason, just out of the blue? I mean, could it be that the Spirit is working in your life saying, you need to call that person. You need to text that person. You need to go reach out to that person. Maybe you just need to pray for that person. But for some reason, and it happens to me all the time, for some reason, I should text Bill this morning. I don't know why. We are at our best as Christians when we allow that to not be an afterthought, but instead we wake up every morning going, I wonder where the Spirit's going to lead me today. I wonder how the Spirit is going to proceed today. I wonder what people that the Spirit is going to put into my life that I can be a blessing to and they can be a blessing to me. Because I guarantee when we begin to live that way, it changes everything. Because all of a sudden, instead of us setting our own agenda and us setting our own goals, we're allowing the Spirit to lead us. And we all realize that the Spirit doesn't always lead us to the easiest road. I mean, if it was always about picking the easiest road, we would need the Spirit. We can do that in our own selves. We spend a whole life going, well, this is hard and this is easy. I'm going to go that way. But instead, the Spirit may be compelling us to say, why don't you do something different? Why don't you drive a different way to work today? Why don't you say something to this person that you were just going to walk past and not say anything to? Why don't you strike up a conversation with this person? Why don't you do something different with your money this week? All these possibilities that may flood into our minds. And the problem is, in order to hear them and feel them and see them, we're going to have to turn the TV off, and we're going to have to turn off the music, and we're going to have to put the screens down, and we're just going to have to reflect and pray, read the Bible, and allow the Spirit to work inside of us. When I set out to talk about the Holy Spirit today, as I've already told you, I don't have a lot of answers for you. But one thing that I was compelled to was I was drawn to music. Because there's something about the Spirit that's emotional, that's not just cerebral. It certainly has a cerebral part, but there's also this feelings stuff. I mean, I've never given a logical argument and gotten goosebumps, right? It's always the emotion that gives the goosebumps to you. It's always the being kind of captured in that. And music does that for me often. And so maybe you might have noticed as you were coming in this morning, the song that was playing was Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. Because we want to invite the Spirit in among us. Now, as we close this morning, I want to do something a little bit different. There's a song, and it's rather long, but it talks a lot about, and the refrain in it is about where the Spirit is leading us. Now, you're in all different places of your lives. Some of you are retired. Some of you are just starting out your career. Some of you are still in school. Some of you have jobs. Some of you are retired. Some of you don't want to get a job. whatever your situations are. Well, some of you are super social and you have big social circles. Some of you have nobody. All these things. But you all have this in common. The Spirit of God is living and breathing inside of you. And I believe is calling you out of your comfort zone this week and for your lifetime. And so what we're going to do is, and I want to begin by just offering this teaching from Jesus that I think reflects what I was just talking about. It's Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Now, I think we all are mature enough to realize that he's not talking about, hey, go over to the car lot, talk to Randy, and see what car you want and just really pray hard about it, because you know if you ask hard enough you're going to get it. Obviously he's calling us to something more than that. And so the question I want to resonate with you for a few minutes as we listen to this song is what do you not have because you're not asking? Where is it that the Spirit is leading you this morning? As we play this song, allow those thoughts and questions to reflect. Listen to the words. The words will be on the screen and just read them. It's about 9 minutes long, so you'll get a panicky attack in 4 or 5 minutes here, but just smooth it out and then just continue to just reflect and invite the Spirit to lead you. Some of you are facing major questions and decisions. Some of you maybe not. But whatever you're thinking or reflecting, ask the Spirit of God to give you guidance and hope and direction.